it opened up to an impressive picture of serenity, of calm. It hadn't taken me long to get there. After all, it was only a couple miles from home. I had gotten up early that morning at the crack of dawn, ready to go, having loaded the boat the night before. I headed west out of town on the main artery, and I use that term artery pretty loosely, for it was just a small farming town of about 750 people. But soon I slowed, and I made a left turn, headed south on a small country road. The road itself was rough blacktop, really only about a lane and a half wide, barely wide enough for two cars to pass by each other without scraping mirrors. After about three quarters of a mile or so, I came to a small bridge, really just a concrete bump in the road. Pulling over on the widened shoulder, I was able to park the truck without obstructing traffic. I unhooked the chains from the front of the 8-foot bed, chains wrapped in an old bicycle tire or inner tube to silence the noise. Sliding that 14-foot John boat out of the bed of the truck and onto the bank was relatively easy, the aluminum hull keeping the weight of the boat down. I made sure all the gear was there, the fishing rod, the oars, the can of worm, the life vest, the tackle box. Satisfied that all was ready, I slipped the boat into the water of the creek. It wasn't very deep, but the flat bottom of the boat made it possible to navigate, even though it scraped the gravel bed a time or two. I didn't have far to go, a couple hundred yards maybe, and there it was. The creek opened up to a hidden lake. In fact, that would have been a great name for it, Hidden Lake, though I don't remember what the actual name really was. What a picture. The surface was as smooth as glass, reflecting the sky and the shoreline all around. I glided my way as silently as I could, not wanting to announce my presence. The birds were singing their melody in the symphony of country life, with the cows mooing, ready to be milked, providing the oboe accompaniment. I rode to what looked like a good spot, weeds rising up through the water, a downed tree hovering over the surface. I grabbed the iron three-pronged anchor and carefully lower it over the side, its descent marked by a few bubbles and ripples in the glass. I grab my pole and I open up my tackle box, searching through the myriad of lures that never seemed to work quite as good as the old tried and true method of a worm on a hook. Giving up, I closed the lid and unhooked the line and the hook from the cork handle of the end of my fishing pole. Opening up the can of worms that I brought along, I fished one out, the worms wriggling frantically, trying to disappear. This 5-foot, 6-inch ugly stick rod with reel combo was by far my favorite. The ultralight combo with the mini open face reel and the 6-pound test made catching even the little ones to seem like a contest of the wills. I impaled a worm on the hook, attached a bobber, flung it towards the shore. A perfect first cast. I looked around at the houses that surrounded the shoreline, see if anyone was awake, surveying the grassy banks and the faded decks for movement. Satisfied that I was all alone, I settled back into the seat to wait and to watch, keeping an eye on the yellow and orange ball half submerged in the water. And whether I catch a few or not, it was a great beginning to a lazy summer day. This picture that I've painted of a Wisconsin summertime ritual is not what is portrayed in the gospel today. The method is different. The purpose is different. The catch is different. Yet Jesus uses this occupation and analogy of fishing to call his first disciples. And as we dig into the gospel, starting with verses 16 through 18, we are drawn into this fishing story, a story that illustrates the immediate obedience of Simon and Andrew and their willingness to respond to Jesus' call. Scripture records this encounter. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. This remarkable passage paints a striking portrait of unwavering commitment and unhesitating willingness to embrace a new path in life. The key word in this passage is immediately. It tells so much about the nature of Andrew and Simon and the overwhelming lure of Jesus' call. There was no procrastination, no listing of pros and cons, no lingering attachment to their occupation or lifestyle. Their response to Jesus' call was instantaneous, signaling a deep trust and a readiness to embrace the unknown at Jesus' bidding. This act of leaving their nets symbolizes a departure from their former life. Nets in this context represent not just their way of catching fish, their means of livelihood, but also being caught in a familiar, secure way of life. To leave them immediately is to fully embrace this new identity and new purpose that they find in Jesus Christ. The willingness of these first disciples to follow Jesus without hesitation sets a precedence for how we are to respond to Jesus' call. It highlights the necessity of putting Jesus' call first over everything else. And it invites each one of us to reflect on what the fishing net represents in our lives. What are the things that catch us, keeping us from following Jesus fully and immediately? For some, it might be the snare of a career or material comfort. For others, it might be relationships, personal ambition, or even deeply ingrained habits and attitudes that drag us away. This call to follow Jesus challenges us to evaluate our priorities, our relationships, and our sense of security. Do these line up with the kingdom values that Jesus proclaimed? Or are they in conflict with the life to which he calls us? This example of immediate obedience also speaks to the issue of putting things off in our spiritual lives. Often we acknowledge the truth of God's call, yet we delay our response. We might be waiting for a more convenient time, a clearer sign, or a lesser cost. But our lack of prompt response isn't merely about putting things off. It's about an acceptance of a new way of thinking and a new way of living that aligns with Jesus' teachings. It's about being ready to serve, to love, to forgive, and to spread the good news, just as the early disciples did. The narrative of Jesus calling his disciples continues in verses 19 and 20, where we encounter James and John, the sons of Zebedee. The scripture vividly captures this moment. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This brief passage not only echoes the immediate response of the other disciples, but it also introduces us to the concept of what that response might cost. James and John responding to Jesus' call involved leaving behind not just their occupation, but their family also. The decision to leave their father Zebedee in the boat signifies a massive change in their commitment and their priorities. Their leaving to follow Jesus is just not a physical leaving, but it represents something deeper. They are stepping away from their familiar environment, their security, their expectation of taking over the family business. Their decision points to the cost of stepping out of the boat, of following Christ. That cost could include leaving behind the familiar, the comfortable, and sometimes even our families to serve our Lord. The calling of the disciples demonstrates that following Jesus may require significant sacrifices. It might mean stepping out of our comfort zones, leaving behind a secure and predictable lifestyle, and embracing uncertainty for the sake of Christ. This cost will not just be a one-time event, but a continual process of choosing Jesus over all other aspects of our life that compete for our time, our loyalty, our affection. And this sacrificial aspect of discipleship calls us to examine our lives today, right now. In what areas are we called to abandon comfort to follow Christ more closely? For some, this might mean stepping out in faith to pursue a calling or a ministry that right now seems impossible. For others, it could mean reorganizing their priorities and their values to align more closely with the teachings of Jesus. It might also involve difficult decisions, such as distancing ourselves from certain relationships or certain environments that hinder our walk with Christ. The challenge for us today is figuring out what our boat or our nets really are. What are the things that provide us security and comfort, but hold us back from fully embracing the path Jesus has laid out for us? It could be a career that doesn't align with our Christian calling, a lifestyle that contradicts the values of the kingdom, or even certain relationships that pull us away from God. But by abandoning our concern for comfort, we find a new freedom and a new joy found only in Christ. The disciples' decision to follow Jesus cost them personally, but it also led them to a life of adventure, challenge, and profound fulfillment. Their story inspires us to make those same bold choices, trusting that whatever we leave behind cannot compare to what we gain in Christ. So as we examine our lives today, what can we identify as something that could be considered our life vest of comfort at the expense of our calling to fish for men? We have the standing invitation from Jesus to step out of the boat and follow him. But he expects a deep, committed relationship with him, one that is our priority, even when the costs are high, even when it costs us our job, our comfort, even our relationships. This challenge of Jesus to follow him and to fish for men is so different from that lazy summer Wisconsin morning on Hidden Lake. But the result, the catch, is so much more important because lives are at stake. So I encourage you, strive to be fishers of men in our communities, our workplaces, our families. Let us live in such a way that others are caught up in Christ through our words, our actions, our lives. This is all of our callings, all of our missions, and also our privilege as followers of Jesus. Amen.